Thanks for tuning in to the Drive On podcast, where we're focused on giving hope and strength to the entire military community. Whether you're a veteran, active duty, guard, reserve, or a family member, this podcast will share inspirational stories and resources that are useful to you. I'm your host, Scott DeLucio, and now let's get on with the show. Hey everyone, welcome back to Drive On. I'm your host, Scott DeLucio, and today my guest is Nate Turner. Nate is a speaker, author, lawyer, and advocate for parenting and college readiness. And today we're going to be discussing tools, techniques, and strategies for staying connected with your children during deployments and how to avoid common social and educational problems when parents are not physically present. So before we get started and get into all of that, I first want to welcome you to the show, Nate. I'm glad to have you here.
Thank you for having me, and I'm glad you extended the invitation. I'm really excited about
that. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think this is an important topic and one that maybe isn't covered enough within the military and the veteran community. Just talking about family life and the challenges that we might have in just the day-to-day type of stuff, right? And just staying engaged, especially when folks are deployed. So can you maybe just start off, share some strategies for parents that they might be able to use to stay engaged with their children while they're deployed or otherwise not at home? You know, they may be away on a training exercise or something like that. Sometimes they just can't physically be there.
Sure. So I'll start with this, Scott. The reason that I'm here with you is because I have a son who's now 29. Wow, just turned 29. 30 years ago, I started writing notes to a unborn child about the things that I wanted the child to know. I had this sort of feeling that I wasn't going to live very long, and or I was going to mess up our relationship like I believe my father had done with ours. And so I wanted to write notes to the child to tell the child about how much I loved the child. As it turned out, when my son was two, he asked me to start writing him he wanted mail. And so I started writing him letters. And what I found from that was a great way to communicate with him so that when he was 16, 13 years ago, when you were getting ready to leave the service, he decided to move to Brazil, his own deployment. And I took those letters, put them in a binder, and I gave them to him. So one of the things I would suggest the parents do is to write their children, write them about the thing that they would want their children to know. I have a good friend who gave me a book for Father's Day that said, "Dad," something like, "Dad, tell me everything about your life that I don't know." And here's a good opportunity to maybe start writing children about things about your life that they don't know. And now we also have video. So you could also use video. You could use YouTube and create a private channel that's just for you and your family. And you could schedule the releases so that while you're gone, you can release new episodes to your children about things you might want them to know.
Yeah. And I like that feature too. I actually use that the scheduling feature that you just talked about. I actually use that for this show when, we're recording an episode right now. It's the 1st of July. This episode's not going to come out until the 6th of August. Yeah. And so as we're sitting here, we're talking, and I'm going to edit this episode after we're done talking at some point. And then, so I don't forget, I upload everything to where it needs to go, and I do the schedule, and then let technology take over and post everything, you know? So that is a good feature too, because, especially when you are deployed, you may only get a limited amount of downtime when you're able to write a letter or record a video or whatever the case may be, whatever tool that you use to communicate with folks back home. You may only get a limited amount of time, and you may want to sit down and just record everything for a week all at once, right? Mm-hmm. And then say you want to send something daily, once a day, every day for a week. And you can record seven of those things and just schedule them out so that one goes out on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, all the way throughout the end of the week. And that will save you a little bit of sanity, you know, when it's like, oh shoot, I didn't do that today. Now I got to scramble and try to figure out how to fit it in my schedule. But that just makes it a little bit easier, I think. So that's kind of cool. And we talked a little bit about the technology side of things, you know, recording a video. A lot of times laptops and tablets and other devices that you might have, it's just real easy to record a quick video of yourself. Are any other technologies or tools or things like that might be available?
If Google's working, which it wasn't for us earlier, but if Google was working, you could also schedule emails. So you could do that too.
Yeah.
You could write them and schedule the transmission of the email. You could communicate via some, if you wanted to send balloons or something like that, you could send balloons, you could schedule those. I mean, we live at a time where you can almost schedule anything and everything. So you can be at the front of your children's mind, even though you could be, you know, thousands of miles away.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that, because those things are things that I also use for this show. I also schedule all the emails to, like, the guests. I sent you an email a couple of days ago that had the outline that I had prepared for this episode. Well, that was I did that shortly after you scheduled the interview, wrote out all the questions and got everything ready to go. And I didn't want to forget to send it to you, so I scheduled it. But I do that too with, like, text messages. When I travel sometimes for work, and whenever I'm away from home, I send a text message to my kids. And in the text message, everyone is just, it's just a joke, like a stupid dad joke, you know, that type of thing. But I schedule them so that every day that I'm gone, they get a message from me, and it's got a joke, and, you know, it gets them laughing a little bit, and it makes it a little bit easier, you know? And sometimes I'll send something else. Like if they have an event coming up or whatever, I don't want to forget to send something. So I'm going to schedule it. And, you know, so if the kid has a baseball tournament coming up, or a recital, or some big event in their life, right, and you unfortunately can't be there for it, make sure that message gets there, you know, and scheduling it like that, whether it's a text message or an email or whatever it is, video, those types of things, you can schedule and make sure that they get there when they need to be there, and that'll make things a little bit better for the kids. I mean, I know it nothing's going to replace having, you know, mom or dad there with you, but it makes it a little bit easier, doesn't it?
Yeah. And just lets them know that they're being thought of, which right, is important. I think all of us want to feel like we're important and that we matter to someone. So when the people who created you, brought you into this world, find a way, and you know that they're doing something for the greater good, to still think about you, that has to mean something.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, maybe especially in older kids, where, you know, maybe teenage, where they can maybe wrap their head around a deployment and like what that means on the on a bigger scale. Whereas maybe a 4 or 5 year old, they just know mom or dad's not here. They don't know, you know, why aren't they here? Oh, they're off protecting us, and all that kind of stuff. Like, that's a hard concept probably for a younger kid to wrap their head around. But like what you're saying, when they're out there doing something as big as defending the country, and they still have time to remember you, like that makes you feel good. You know, it makes you feel like, okay, well, mom or dad or whoever it is, they still care. It's like, yeah, I know they can't be here, but they still care, right?
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, when you have a deployed parent, unfortunately it happens. I mean, I was a parent too when I was deployed. My son was just 2 months old or so when I left home. So he doesn't remember the fact that I wasn't there.
Probably tougher on you than on him.
It was tough on me, and tough on my wife too. We were first time parents, and going over, having me go overseas while she was pregnant, and then finding out that I was going overseas while she was pregnant, and then going shortly after our son was born, it was hard. You also have to think, like, there's a child there who has a stressed out parent maybe. And so that could be an issue for the child too, no matter how young the child could be. Now, how can deployed parents help their children avoid any of these types of problems that come from a prolonged absence, let's say, and it may not be talking as young as, infant stage, but there's other issues that come across, a little bit older kids when their parents gone for an extended amount of time. How do we help them avoid these issues?
So I've never served, but I watched a movie about it. It's a quote. So my guess is that it's like a mission. I would say it is a mission. Whether or not I'm a parent who's here with a child, I have to know what it is that I want my outcome to be. I think parents have to decide what they want the outcome to be. So yes, you're going to have some challenges that a parent who's present is not going to have, but you still have to decide what you want the outcome to be. And then I would say, and then because we don't raise or we shouldn't raise children in a vacuum, that I believe it is true that it takes a village to raise a child, then the thing that we want to do is create a village, and not a village of idiots, but a village of a village of do-gooders, a village who can actually help us while we're away, who can actually carry out the mission that we've decided we want for our children. So I like to call the group, the village, the starting five. And I believe that parents, whether or not you are deployed or whether or not you are present, because we're all so busy doing stuff and or believing that there's this thing called work-life balance, that it would behoove us to have people who can help us to help our children. So in the starting five, it's like a basketball team. You have a point guard, you have a shooting guard, you have a small forward, you have a power forward, you have a center. I think every family should have that. In my son's life, I think for the most part, I've been his point guard. My job to point him in the right direction, guard all his hopes and dreams. But we have to know what his hopes and dreams are. And before he can tell you what his hopes and dreams are, if he's small, then his hopes and dreams have to come a little bit from what you hope and dream for them to do. And then you put the other people in place, a shooting guard, someone who is aspirational, this shows up, this full of encouragement. A small forward, someone who helps the child remember to dot all the I's and cross all the T's to make sure they cover all the small details. A power forward. Somebody who's really for us, because once we get tired of the child when they do things we don't like, we need someone to remind us this is not about us, that we all have the power for it. And then lastly, a center of influence, someone who knows people who can get the child involved or engaged in things that the child is really interested in. But I think if we could create that kind of unit, then the deployment may be easy.
Oh, for sure. And one of the things that I've noticed just with our kids growing up is there's a lot of trial and error. There's no handbook that comes with a child that tells you like, this is what you need to do. So there's a lot of, especially new parents, you're kind of figuring it out on the fly. I mean, yeah, of course there are people in a lot of our lives that can help guide us in the right direction. Maybe a parent or other people like that can help you with that. But ultimately as a parent, you have to make the decisions for yourself. You might have questions. You can ask some people that can help out in that regard. But ultimately it's up to you to figure these things out. But also another thing that is, you got to use a little bit of trial and error is figuring out the kids' hopes and dreams and the things that they want out of life. Have a son or something, you'd be like, this kid is, you're looking at a little baby, infant, and you're like, this kid is going to play in Major League Baseball when he gets older. And that's my hope and dream. And that's going to be my retirement ticket right there athletic skills. But you may have them, out there on the field playing T-ball and Little League and all those things. And you might absolutely hate it. And he may be terrible at it too. And he just doesn't want to do it. And so, okay, we tried it. It didn't work. There goes my hopes and dreams, but you try something else and you find something that they are interested in, and it can keep them busy too. Because I found with my kids, when they find something that they are interested in, they will pour their heart and soul into these things. And I'm not using this to say like, oh, well, this will just become a babysitter for them. And they'll, you don't have to worry about the kids, sure. But it helps to take their attention off of the other issues that might be going on in the world at the time, you know? And so, you know, a parent being deployed, that's a big issue in their life. And so if they had something else to focus their attention on, now they're not just solely focused on what's going on with mom or dad as they're deployed. And so that type of thing, I think you got to figure out what that is to get them stimulated and engaged in those types of things, right?
Agree. Yep. Then you just create a plan to make sure that they are able to stay on track while you're away.
And also the plan should also include, you know, not being overbearing on the parent who is staying behind with the kids, because you know, I know, like, we have three children, and if we had to bring them to three different places all at the same time, that would be a nightmare for one parent to have to figure out. So figuring it out, there's going to be some balance, right? And so you got to figure out what works for the child, but also what works for the person who's staying behind too.
Yeah. Hence your village. And so then, right, if you have and other people are having similar issues, you all can be a support system for one another. So maybe you're home and I'm deployed and you look out for my child in the way that you know I would want. When you're gone, I step up and do the same thing, and somebody else. And so we develop a community of folks so that the children and the spouses that are behind never feel like they have to do everything themselves.
Right. And I think, especially in military communities where there's military bases and you got a lot of military families living around those bases, I think the people there will be a little more understanding of those types of issues that may be coming up with that, and be more willing to lend a hand in those kind of circumstances, versus, you know, maybe, you know, someone who just travels a lot for work and it's, you know, they live in, you know, someplace not even near a military base and it's not a military job or anything. They just travel all over the world and they're gone half the year for work. Well, people are going to maybe be a little less understanding of all of that, but the benefit of a military community is you got that kind of built in. Everyone kind of understands what a deployment is and what that means to a family. And so that's, you know, one benefit there. So, like, I guess to your point, don't hesitate to get out there and meet these people and make those connections and build that community of people that can be there to help. And you can lean on those people when you need it. So you're not carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders, right?
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. So, now, balancing roles here, like as parents and service members, as they're being deployed and the balance kind of shifts in the household, right? Where, you know, maybe dad always did these types of things in the house and mom always did these things, and then dad's gone and now mom has to do everything. And, you know, how do parents balance these things as trying to run the household, but also as trying to help raise these kids?
So I'm a big believer, or should I say a lack of believer, in the idea that there's this thing called balance. I don't know that we ever have work-life balance. I think balance is being imbalanced. So I'd say when you're gone, if your family, so let me back up. I think if a family has a mission state, so our family has a mission statement and our family has a vision state. And so whether or not I'm here or if I'm gone, my family still knows what the mission is for the family. If my wife is around or not, we still know what the vision is for the family. And so the ideal is, you know, whether or not I'm here or not, there's a mission and a vision that we have to carry out, and vice versa. So again, it's not the same, but my wife is away from home, or has historically been away from home a lot more now. She's an educator. So she has to, you know, there'd be school events, et cetera. Now she's a dean of a university. Does she spend more time away from home than I did? Mm-hmm. The traditional family is that the mom's at home and she cooks the meal. She takes the kids to school. She does the laundry. But that's not the tradition in our home. So I had to do those things. Yeah, not that I had to do them. They have to be done. Somebody's got to do them. So you step up to the plate and you do them because the family has a bigger mission. The mission is that our family is successful, that our family is functional, that our family shows that we care about each other. Our family supports other people's successes and other people's goals and objectives. And if it means that one person this week has to do the dishes every day, then that person has to do dishes every day. If somebody has to clean up the house and somebody else doesn't seem to ever do it, well, the house has to be clean.
Sure.
So you just do what needs to be done because you're doing it for the benefit of something greater than yourself.
Yeah. And I think a lot of service members can relate to that because, you're getting deployed and you have to do whatever it takes to accomplish a mission. And, if one part of the unit is down for some reason, maybe there's injuries or their equipment's down or something like that. Well, someone else is going to have to pick up the slack. You can't just, I guess we lose the war because a few people got sick or something like that. I don't know. Like, you got to figure it out and you got to go and fill in the holes and do the work that needs to be done in order to accomplish the mission. And in this case, your family has a mission statement. I think maybe a lot of families out there maybe don't have that type of thing, but maybe they should have some sort of mission statement so they can stay focused and be like, okay, this is why we're doing what we're doing. In the military, there's a mission, and every mission you plan and you have a design for what is about to take place. And everybody who's out on that mission, they know what the end result is. They know what success looks like. You may get there a different way than you planned, right? But as long as you get there, that you can count that mission as a success. And so working with that in mind, okay, what does success look like in your family? And chances are something's going to happen and something's going to screw up your ideal vision of how we get there. Right.
Right.
And you need to work around that and you need to figure it out. Even if that means one person needs to pick up a little more slack than they were assigned in the initial plan. Right. You got to just figure it out. Right. And so just because mom or dad is away, on a deployment or a training mission or something like that, well, okay, someone's going to have to pick up the slack. And that is the way that you accomplish the goal of whatever that mission is. Right.
And there's a lesson that you'll carry with you forever. So my father, as I mentioned, I think at one point my father served and he was in the Air Force. So did my grandfather and my uncles. But my father was very much the mission person, right? Okay, we're buying this home and your job is to take care of everything outside. It means cutting the grass, raking the leaves, shoveling the snow. That's your job. And then when my mother would work longer, he'd say, well, I mean, the dishes are not washed, but that wasn't my job, Dad. No. You want the house, right? Right. So the mission means you got to come inside. Now you got to wash the dishes too, right? Yeah. And then you got a little sister. And did you feed her? Did she eat? No, but she, okay, man, that she is. You just got to pick up the slack, to your point. We just have to.
Yeah.
But I understand that, right? I understand that as a child, that my father's, the expectation in my household is that everybody has to do their job. The house has to run a certain way. And if somebody can't do it, you got to step up, be your capable. You have to step up and do.
Yeah. And in our family, we have two dogs. And when we feed them twice a day, once in the morning, once around kind of dinner time. And we have a calendar on the box where we keep all their food. And that calendar has a little thing every day, morning and night, throughout the month, and you can check off did I, and you put your initials. That's our standard, what we put in place. You put your initials if you fed the dogs in the morning or in the evening, so that way we know it's been done. And that way, but whenever someone walks by, they take a look. Oh, it's dinner time. Okay, I take a look. Is it checked off? No. Okay, well, I'm going to feed them. And you go grab the bowls and you put the food in and you give it dogs the food and you check it off with your initials. And that way everybody knows. And so everybody is responsible for it. And you got to take responsibility. And, you know, granted with little kids, sometimes you have to remind them, hey, you're walking by that. Did the dogs get fed? And they take a look. Oh, no. Okay. But they know I'll go feed them, you know? And so that's just, you know, one example, but for sure. Yeah. Everything needs to get done. And you just have to kind of make that expectation that it may be you doing a disproportionate amount of the work, but it's for the greater good, for the household to keep running. And, you know, it won't always be that way. It'll balance itself out at some point, you know, maybe not a perfect balance, right? There's no perfect balance, like you were saying before, but there may be another time when somebody else is picking up a little more slack than you are. And, you know, it all works out in the end. And so I think that's a good way to think of it. And hopefully some folks can learn something from that and kind of managing their household. You know, whether someone's deployed or not, I think it's still a good way to look at it. Now, before we were recording, I was kind of doing a little bit of research and looking things up. And I found your life template, kind of a backwards design process. And how can it help parents raise successful and well-rounded children?
So, Scott, so as I mentioned, my son is 29 now. He holds a PhD from Carnegie Mellon in electrical computer engineering, a bachelor's degree in computer engineering, electrical engineering, and computer science from Santa Clara University. And he's currently a second year MBA student at NYU. I just say all that to say, at no point in time have I ever had an educator ask me what my hopes and dreams were for my child. So that's what the life template does. The life template sets up the place for parents to know what they want for their own child's life, because it is likely that other people won't ask you what you want for your children. They'll make some assumptions. And in this country, we do a great deal of outsourcing. So we drop our kids off at school or the daycare, and we assume that they want the same things for our children without necessarily having had that conversation. So right. The life template has three major things. One is that we raise children who are intellectually ambitious, which is very different from being a great student, having great test scores or great GPA. I'm interested in him having those things without question. But I wanted him also to be able to think critically and most notably learn how to think using the Socratic method. So that's element one. The second part was that I wanted to make sure that he was raised to be globally and culturally competent. The world is bigger, but it's also smaller. And so I wanted him to be able to understand other people's perspectives and be able to speak other languages, because I think there is some value when you go somewhere and you can speak in the tongue of the people of where you're visiting, as opposed to always asking people to speak English. And then lastly, mm-hmm. I wanted him to be a child who cared for something greater than himself. So the last element is humanitarian drive. And so those are the three elements about how we wanted to raise the child. It has nothing to do with what he chooses to do as a profession. It just had to do with the kind of person, a person who can think on his own two feet, a person who understands he's a world citizen and that he's responsible for something other than himself. And that's essentially the life tip.
And that's a good way to think about it, I think, too, because when you first started talking about it, it sounded to me like you're planning, you know, what degree was he going to get and what job was he going to have and how do we get him set up to succeed and, you know, become a doctor or a lawyer, or, you know, whatever the goal was for that. But then as you're talking, it kind of clarified it a little bit more, and that's not what it was at all. But it does help to make sure that the kids are the type of person that you can look at them and be like, you know, I'm proud to call that person my son or my daughter, you know, because they grew up to be, you know, well-educated, well-rounded, you know, they can think for themselves. They can, you know, be polite, you know, they have good manners with the people that they interact with. You were mentioning learning different languages so that they can interact with people, You know, if they were to travel to another country, they can interact with people in that country in their language. You know, maybe not perfectly fluently. Maybe they are. That would be great. But at least I know when I see somebody who's speaking to me in English here in America, and I know they're not from America, it's like, okay, well, this person's giving it a shot, you know, their best shot. And it makes it a lot easier than me trying to figure out, you know, Chinese or, you know, Russian or some other language that I just don't know. You know, makes life a lot easier. And maybe it's not perfect, but I can figure that out a heck of a lot easier than I can some other language that I've never, never learned, you know? And so it's the same thing for anyone else, you know, where they live. And so, you know, if you're going to their country, why not learn at least some key phrases? You know, at a minimum, whenever I travel to places, I like to learn how to say basic things, thank you, and you know, stuff like that to people in their language, because, you know, I am appreciative of them and I want to express it in a way that I know that they're going to understand. And so that type of thing, you know. But doing that for your children, especially kind of at a young age, I like the idea of kind of the backward design too, where you think about, okay, what is it that I want and how do I get them there? And we do that a lot of times in the military too, where we do some backwards planning where we know, okay, we need to be at a certain place at a certain time. Let's work backwards. What do we need to do? Okay, we need to travel there. Okay, how long does that take? And that's a certain amount of time. Okay, so we subtract that from whatever the arrival time is. Then we have time that we need to, you know, pack things, and we need to do all the other things that we need to do before we get moving. And let's back our way back to, okay, what time do we need to get started doing all of this stuff? And that allows us to get there on time, maybe has fueled some anxiety in veterans down the road afterwards, because it's always like, we need to be on time. If we're not 15 minutes early, we're late, you know, that type of thing. But you know, I think we're familiar with that. And so using this kind of life template, like you described it, is a good way to make sure that the kids are, you know, on the right track. And, you know, sometimes a deployment will, you know, kind of mess things up a little bit, but as long as you stick to that plan, you know, the community, the group of people can kind of stick to that plan, and help get the kids to be where they need to be. You know, they'll be okay. I think that's a good way to look at it.
So, yeah. I was going to say, if I just add one more thing. So there's a second element to it, which is it's full of threes. So the next set of threes is that which follows the actual backward design for education, which says there's a element of familiarity, there's mastery, and then there's core. So what I like to say to families is there are things, I think it's great for children in some respect to be jacks of all trade. I think the most remarkable children that I ever meet are children who could talk to you about just about anything. I'm like, wow, how old is that? How old are your children? How do they know this stuff? And so, like, what does that mean? It means, like, making sure, giving children essentially what I call, like, the buffet of life. Give them an opportunity to be at the buffet table and experience everything at the table. If they can decide later on, to your point earlier, hey, maybe I can put them in T-ball. They didn't like T-ball. Maybe I'll put them in soccer. They don't like soccer. Maybe I'll give them some piano lessons. Oh, they love piano. Or maybe I'll put them in gymnastics. Oh, they're excelling in gymnastics. But if I don't give them sort of this breadth of opportunity, I don't really know what they might like. And so I believe in that first element, which is familiar. Give them a chance to be familiar with a number of things. Then there are things that they have to master, to your point, like behavior, respect, reading, writing, math, and science. There are some things that we have to master in to be successful in the society we live in. And then lastly, I would say there's, to me, the most important part, which is the core. I hate to think about it this way, but I do think if my child were to depart from this earth, what would I want people to say about my son? Who more importantly, would I want to say people to say that he was? And then that, to me, is at the heart of everything we do. How do I make sure my son's life becomes who he'd want to be when his time on this planet is over.
Sure. And we all have, unfortunately, we do all have expiration dates, and we don't know what that date is. But yeah, living up to a, how do you put it? Living up to a type of person that people can look back at and say, you know, that was a good person. They lit up the room when they walked in, and they made everyone laugh and smile, and they always had a, you know, maybe a witty comment, or they had some, you know, something about them that, you know, would just be a good thing to remember them by, you know, and not this person was a jerk and this person was a, you know, an absolute nightmare when they were around. And like, that's not the type of person you want to have. So, you know, but someone who always had something interesting to say and, you know, could engage in a lively conversation. And like you said, even at a young age, you want to introduce these kids to, I love the way you said that, the buffet of life, where, mm-hmm. where you can see all the different things that are in front of them. And, maybe they don't have mastery of everything that they've been exposed to. Who does, right? I know I don't. I'm for sure not. But there, you can make them familiar with a lot of different things. And that way, when those things come up in a conversation, they can have a conversation about mm-hmm. it. And like you said, even if they have conversations with adults who are like, wow, this young person knows about all these different topics. Like, what an interesting person. Like, that goes to that core. Like, this is an interesting person to be around. I want to be around more people like this who have something interesting to talk about in these types of situations. So, so I guess kind of bringing all of this back now to, you know, parents, they get deployed, they go on training missions. They're away for periods of time, using that core group of people, that community that can help in these situations and kind of help carry the load when need be. That's another thing in the military that we are familiar with. I mean, everyone who's ever been in a machine gunner position or assistant machine gunner position who had to carry lots of ammunition or a heavy machine gun over rough terrain, they know that every once in a while you might have to switch off, and you're not going to be able to, you know, make it 100% of the time carrying that heavy load for long, long distances. You might have to swap it off. And so there are people out there who you can, I don't want to say swap off, like you're going to hand your kids over and here, you take care of them, right? But there's going to be people there who can help you out when, you know, you got three kids at practice all at the same time. And gosh, how am I going to be in three places at once? Well, you're not going to be, but you can ask the neighbor who can, you know, maybe pick them up or, you know, that type of thing, mm-hmm. You know, to kind of help balance it out. And that way, when they're in need, they know they can count on you to come and help them out as well. So, you know, bringing all of this together, it's like there's so much that can be done. It's just, I think sometimes as parents, we need to get out of our own way and get out of our own head in the daily routine of life, because we just get so stuck in the minutia of what's going on. If you look at the bigger picture, have that mission statement for your family, and say, okay, what do I need to do to accomplish that mission? Some of the other stuff may not even matter. You know, you want to make sure your kids are clothed and fed and, you know, they're educated and that they're growing up to be good people. Like, those are the things that matter. Right. But a lot of times the other stuff that we worry about, it doesn't matter. And as long as you're focusing on the things that do matter, I think that your kids and your family overall will be better off. And that's, I think, what we need to kind of focus on, right?
Yeah. And if the families can communicate to the children early on what matters, then the children will understand that and be able to carry it out. Aristotle famously said, bring me a child at seven, I'll show you the man. I mean, today you can't probably say the man. You'd have to say, I'll show you the person or the adult. But change society aside, I think that there's, and child psychologists would say that there's some truth to that, that most of what we become happens between 0 and 7. And if that is the case, then we're raising children who understand that there's a bigger goal, objective. We're not the most important thing on the planet, but we're no less important than anybody else, that we are supposed to exist to serve the greater good, that we should, we treat people the way we want people to treat us. I believe in this thing called the mutable law of reciprocity, that if Scott gives to me, then I have to give to Scott, have to give to Scott equal or greater value than Scott gave to me. And so if we're both doing that, then the planet is going to be greatly improved. But yeah, I think if we teach children those kind of things early on, it makes things a lot easier moving forward.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's easier to teach that at a young age than it is at an older age, when those things maybe didn't get, the seed didn't get planted in their brain, and they now formulated different ideas of how the world should be. And maybe they aren't the greatest. And, you know, so yeah, definitely helping guide them in the right direction. I'm not saying, you know, be manipulative and influence them in the wrong ways, but, influencing them to be a good person, and they'll figure it out on their own. But, you know, giving that type of example that you just gave will help make them, they'll make their own version of that, and they'll be better off for it, I think, right?
Yeah. If you're associating with those kind of people, Scott's a part of my life, and Scott's wife is a part of my life, and other people are a part of my life, then the children see that. I'm a huge Lion King fan, and Lion King is the reason that I'm a father. But if you ever go back and watch the movie, you'll see Rafiki holding up Simba above the villain to say to the village, essentially, hey, here's a guy we're all responsible for, because one day this guy is also going to be responsible for us. And there's no particular person that is better suited for him. There's a monkey, there's a bird. Like this, it's not just the lions, it's everybody that's part of the village, and helped him remind him of what his goals and objectives are, even when his father, the mission per se, when his father isn't there, when he loses his way. He remembers who he is, because that's what's poured into him as a child. I think that for me sort of describes what I hope would happen in my own child's life, and what I would recommend for anybody. You can't do it by yourself, but have a village.
Sure. Yeah. And that's a good way to think about it too. I never really thought of it as, you know, kind of why in the movie, why Simba was being held up that way. Yeah, the better they take care of him, you know, and he was just a cub at that point, the better they take care of him, the better values that get instilled in him, the better they treat him, the better he'll treat them when he's older and he becomes the king, and he's kind of in charge of the whole, area. And so, yeah, that is kind of an interesting way to think about it. I never really thought of it that way.
He eventually has to come back and do the very thing that he was prepared to do that he didn't realize he was prepared to do. His job was to come back and take care of the village that was falling apart. He came back to Pride Land. So, yeah, that's the way I think about, like, our role as parents.
That's pretty cool. That's a cool way to think about it. So before we wrap up, where can listeners go to find out more information about kind of what you do, any resources and things like that you might have available? Where can people go to check that out?
Sure, I have a website, NathanielAturner.com, NathanielAturner.com. So you can go there, and we have some free resources right now, some things around summer learning. How to avoid summer learning loss. We have a couple of white papers and some things parents should know about preparing kids for college or and beyond. But yeah, that you can go there. I think we have an online course for parents. We're trying to build more stuff there. I think we have 6 books. The books are listed on the site as well.
Excellent. And I'll have a link to that in the show notes as well for the listeners, so you can check that out. Go to the show notes, click the link, and you can grab all the stuff there that Nate was talking about. Again, before we wrap up, at this point in the show, I'd like to add a little bit of humor. Sometimes conversations that we have on the show could be a little tough, a little difficult, and I love adding some humor. Hopefully it puts a smile on somebody's face, whether they're laughing at the joke I tell or they're laughing at me. I don't really care as long as there's a smile on their face. So just real quick here, hopefully I can get this joke out.
Okay.
I got this joke book, Dad Jokes, my kids got for Father's Day. So extra punny and a lot of eye rolling jokes in this book. So here we go. An old man wanted to plant a tomato garden, but it was a lot of difficult work, and his only son was in prison. And the old man described the predicament in a letter to his son. And he says, "Dear son, looks like there will be no tomatoes this year. I'm just too old to be digging. I wish you were here to dig it for me. Love, Dad." And a week later, he received a response. "Dear Dad, sorry I'm not there to help, but whatever you do, don't dig up that garden. That's where I buried the bodies." Soon after, the FBI agents arrived and dug up the entire area, but they couldn't find any bodies. And they apologized for the inconvenience to the old man, and then they left. And the next day, the old man received another letter. "Dear Dad, go ahead and plant the tomatoes now. That's the best that I could do under the circumstances."
Nah, I got it. Man, right. See, I laughed twice. You got two laughs.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. All right. So anyways, thank you again for taking the time to come on the show and sharing this. Hopefully this is helpful for some folks who are, facing deployments, whether they're upcoming, they might be in the midst of a deployment or, even training exercises where folks will be out of town for an extended period of time. Hopefully this helps make things a little bit easier and makes it so that they can keep on their family's mission and not lose sight of what it is that is actually important. So thank you again.
Well, thank you. It's been my pleasure.
Thanks for listening to the Drive On Podcast. If you want to support the show, please check out Scott's book, Surviving Son, on Amazon. All of the sales from that book go directly back into this podcast and work to help veterans in need. You can also follow the Drive On Podcast on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, and wherever you listen to podcasts.